This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
كن سعيدا كن فريدا عش بفخر في الحياة لا تبالي فالمعالي.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is another episode of Hangout, where we are literally hanging out. We have with us here today...
Ooh, you think you're slick, huh?
We have Sheikh Mohammed Faqih, who's going to be joining us on this episode. And we're talking, we're playing,
why
and
you,
we're talking.
Why are you speaking
you
so fast?
Too hard.
Why are you speaking so fast?
Huh?
Why are you nervous?
I'm not nervous. I'm trying to... Ooh! We're talking today about families and the different issues that people face living as Muslims in the West. Sheikh, as most people know... You're actually a full-time imam in the California area, correct?
Yes, indeed, I am.
And I know a lot of imams, they spend, you know, a good chunk of their lives studying the deen. They'll be overseas for many years on end, studying fiqh, aqidah, you know, hadith, all these things, only to come back home and become a family counselor, which is kind of not necessarily what they signed up for. Sheikh, can you tell us some of the common issues you'll be dealing with in your office on a day-to-day basis?
Okay, first of all, assalamu alaikum, everyone. Assalamu alaikum.
You gotta play. You see, when I was talking, you weren't trying to play.
Yes. Well, being an imam is really it's a great privilege, and it's a huge responsibility. But nonetheless, it's something that many of us are not really, you know, fully prepared for. Sometimes you don't know what you're going to face and what you're going to be dealing with. So there are a lot of things that you have to basically teach yourself and face. And it's just, you deal with it as it comes. And one of these areas that I don't believe most programs or most religious studies institutions prepare you for is family counseling. Indeed, you know, it's not, you don't get training. You're not a counselor by training. Right. So much so that it consumes a lot of our time, and eventually, what happens? Most people either give up on it, or they stop doing it because it takes a lot of time from the person. It's actually a full-time job.
Being a counselor.
Yes. So as a matter of fact, you know, some of us, you know, would say that, you know, you might want to leave this for the experts and have in your community people who can provide that service for the community, or direct people towards resources that are much more effective instead of trying to handle it yourself.
Mm. What are some of the common issues you would see come into your office? Like, I know, you know, youth and family and divorce and marriage, but what do you find are some of the repetitive issues you keep seeing day to day?
All of the above. Anything. Nothing surprises me anymore. I mean, it's not unique to any. I think all communities they have all of these issues that you mentioned in common, including, you know, I can't do two things at the same time.
That's you're about to lose. That's why.
No, that's one thing that we tell people when we do counseling is that when you're having conversation with your family or you're trying to spend quality time, focus. Don't try to do two things at the same time.
Okay, sorry. Whoa. Okay, sorry, Chef. You were saying.
So.
Okay, I'll just keep you here.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, and of course, some communities have some issues that may be unique to them. You know, that may not be as prevalent in other communities. You know,
right.
But nonetheless, it's a very rewarding job. Of course, my advice would be for people who may want to consider this, for the new generation that wants to consider this, they're studying, they're preparing themselves to become imams, is get training and counseling if you can. If you can do that on the side, that would be great. There we go. That's how you play.
I let you score, by the way.
Okay.
You know, Sheikh, one thing I noticed that is a lot of times, you know, you'll see people who look very religious, people who have this, you know, this outward religiosity, and a lot of times their families will be complaining about them.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll say things like, you know, my husband, he's very mean to me, or he's very rude to me, or, you know, a lot of times we find domestic abuse is an issue which is rampant in our communities, and a lot of times it takes place between families that outwardly look Islamic. Can you comment on that? I mean, is that a trend that you would see happening a lot in your community?
I mean, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed this issue, told the Sahaba that the best in terms of their iman or religiosity, as you put it, are those who are the best in terms of their character. And he said, the best of you in character are those who are the best to the members of their household, and especially the women within their household, their wives, their daughters, their mothers, right? The ones that we take for granted. So, and again, that's another issue, another serious problem. You know, this dichotomy that we see in the understanding or the practice of the religion, right? Islam is not only theology. It's not just a set of principles. It's not only the belief. The belief has to manifest itself in the individual's lifestyle,
in their actions,
reactions, behavior pattern, right? So that's what really tells whether Islam is part of your...
You're attempting something now. I don't know what kind of...
Well, I have to be very friendly here.
is it possible for someone to be a good Muslim and still be bad to their family or have bad family relations? Is it possible for you to still
not according to the prophetic statements? No, not according to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
So somebody theoretically who is, you know, trying to practice the deen, they're trying to uphold, you know, Islamic principles in their lives, but yet they have these bad relations with siblings or with family members, parents, and so on. You know, can they still feel safe that they are people who are connected and loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though they have this, you know, issue?
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that the most beloved people to him are those who are best in terms of their akhlaq, in terms of their character, and, you know, mannerism. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not, in a hadith we're told that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love someone who is abusive, especially, you know, someone who's verbally abusive, you know?
Okay.
So if someone is doing that to those whom they're supposed to be taking care of and treating well, you know, imagine what their status might be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay, but imagine somebody might say, you know, theoretically speaking, that they have very wicked or evil parents, or they have, you know, family members, siblings that are, you know, very rude to them. They are very anti-Islamic in nature.
Oh.
What's the scenario for someone in that case? I mean, obviously, you'll never be able to please them. And, you know, you might go as far as saying some parents would like you to, for instance, take off the hijab or shave your beard and so on and so forth. How can we reconcile those two statements?
We know we have to really be respectful and treat our parents very well and be patient with them, right? And we have to listen to them, obey them, so long what they're asking us is not something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited us from doing.
Okay.
So you obey your parents, you listen to them, as long as what they're asking you is not something that would offend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to always please Allah. Allah is our top priority.
Right.
But remember the example of Prophet Ibrahim. Many of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to deal with similar issues, right? So that does not give you ground to or reason to abuse your parents. You still have to be respectful. You simply just don't obey them. As Allah says, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Don't listen to them, don't obey them, yet simply don't obey them, but at the same time, treat them well. Right?
I actually got an email from a sister. You can go ahead and...
Okay, well, no, wait. No, wait, before you go any further, watch this shot.
They okay. can't see
Are you covered?
I'm covered, go ahead.
Are you covered?
Go ahead.
See that?
That a special iman trick that you learned?
See that?
MashaAllah.
Okay. Yes.
I received an email from a sister actually who was telling me that she wanted to start wearing hijab and her mother was, you know, kind of just discouraging her, telling her, you know, you're going to become an extremist and you're going to be mixing with these people and those people. And she was turning to me for advice and I, you know, I obviously was thinking the same thing, that obviously there's no obedience to the creation over the creator. But a lot of times, practically speaking, that's very hard to implement, especially when you live under their roof, you know, you're being provided by your parents, you know, the parents are giving you your food, your shelter, your clothing. So to say outwardly, I will not listen to you, is almost risking your livelihood. What would you suggest for someone in that circumstance? I mean, what can they do to ensure that they won't be taking things out of, you know, they won't be getting kicked out of the house, for instance?
Yeah. Of course, usually my advice in a case like this, and I know it's kind of awkward, you know, while we're relaxing and having fun, we're talking about serious issues of this nature, and no disrespect to anyone that might be going through something like that.
Right.
So my advice would be, first and foremost, is for the individuals to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be very, very, you know, patient and be very devoted to Allah Azza wa Jal, because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the extent of your pain, right? Mm-hmm. And and how severe this challenge might be. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows.
Right.
So you always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help, right? Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, at the same time, seek help, local help. Go get professional help, you know, talk to a counselor, talk to somebody that can help you. Usually in these kind of cases, I do recommend people seeking counseling. Go talk to somebody. If you can't talk to the parent or the parents who are involved, yourself directly, then you need to go and seek the help of someone who's trustworthy and someone who's capable of providing that kind of help. You know, the third advice would be to exercise wisdom. You know, use your best judgment. You know, don't do anything that you would regret later. So do not rebel against your parents. Of course, you don't need... Just use wisdom. Sometimes all you have to do is just, listen to them at the moment. You don't have to respond. You don't have to talk back to them, right? And listen to them. And give them a sense that you're at least considering what they're telling you, right? When in reality, there's no way that you would do it, right? Especially if it's something that not only you don't... that you resent, not only do you resent it, but you believe that it will offend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you won't do it, right? But so these will be the three tips that I give people. Turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla, seek counseling, and exercise wisdom in dealing with them. You don't have to be confrontational, you know, nor do you have to be like totally passive and do things that you don't feel right doing, and then have to deal with the internal conflict later, you know.
Right. Yes. Okay. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. I know that actually... for myself specifically, I know a lot of youth. You didn't even wait till I was ready. What is the score right now? We gotta reset this game. I think we gotta go back to zero.
All right, let's go back to zero.
Back to zero. Okay.
Yes.
I know for a lot of youth, specifically like myself, who grew up in the West and our families are from, you know, back home or a different country or culture altogether, we find it difficult to relate to them. And a lot of times, there'll be various gaps, you know, whether it's a language gap or a cultural gap that prevents us from being able to communicate with our parents correctly. Any advice for how youth specifically can kind of, you know, take those steps and bring peace into their homes without, you know, outwardly offending their parents, like you were mentioning?
Yeah, language and culture are very key in communication, but sometimes it's not the only thing that we should look at and consider. You know, there are other factors. One factor would be the emotional connection that you have with your parents that you're not going to have with anyone else, you know? So, and if your parents are decent people, and that's the assumption, most parents are decent people, and they want what is best for you, and they love you, you should keep that in mind, that they're really thinking about your best interest. They have your best interest at heart, right? So you need to be very aware of that, that your parents are not asking you to do something just to make...
just to make trouble.
To make your life, to make you miserable, right? They're not just trying to make things harder for you.
Right.
They really care about you, they care for you. Right? And this is just their way. Now, they may not be doing it in the best of fashion. They may not be, you know, the most experienced or the most positive.
Right.
But you have to keep that in mind, that they're doing it out of good, you know, they have good intention in what they're doing. And then after that, try to basically improve the communication, you know, style or conflict resolution style that you have. And talk to your parents. I think most parents would appreciate, their children understanding or appreciating them and understanding where they're coming from, right? Now, they may not, you know, handle it well if the child doesn't listen to them.
Right. So, any advice for parents? I know a lot of times...
parents, I think, need to be really realistic as to, you know, in terms of their expectations. Mm. And they have to understand that things are very hard. And in most cases, right... our children, you know, don't choose where we raise them. We choose that for them. Mm-hmm. So you can't bring someone up somewhere in an environment and then expect them not to be affected by it.
Right.
So we really need to assume full responsibility for these choices that we're making and deal with the consequences of these choices.
And this is a really random question, but back in the
ready
day,
for the shot.
You better give me some time now. Okay, go ahead.
Play. I'm serious about this, Muna. I'm serious about this.
I don't think you have a chance on this one. I'm actually. You didn't even move the ball. Allahu Akbar. Okay. I don't think this is not going anywhere. I don't think you're going to get past my solid defense.
Okay.
Now, just out of curiosity, Sheikh.
Yes.
You grew up in the States.
No, actually. I grew up in Jeddah.
Okay, well,
in Saudi Arabia.
But you came to the States when you were quite young.
When I was about 17.
Okay, so you can relate to this. I mean, being a young person.
Yeah, I spent most of my life here. I mean, in the United States of America, in the West, yes.
Okay, so you can relate to this feeling. I mean, I know that a lot of times, specifically like myself, I was mentioning that there is a gap between even religiously what's expected of us and what our cultures have to offer here in the West. Do you want to let me ask my question?
That's my favorite shot. Sorry for interrupting. I didn't mean to. Please go.
What is it? 4-0?
I forgot. I lost count.
It's that bad, huh?
Yeah.
A lot of times, like even myself, going to madrasa in the West and being a student in Islamic school, you would find that even amongst the communities, there's a lot of gaps. So, for instance, something like hitting children. Okay. Ooh. This is a big debate now. People are asking, can we discipline our children through physical force? I don't know if you have particular experience with that, growing up here or growing up there. But what kind of wisdom can you bring to that table? People are wondering if they can still hit their kids or not. People are getting
the course. Of course, it's a serious offense. You don't want to do that,
right?
You could actually you could be arrested. Something could go wrong. Seriously. And besides the fact that it's not really the most Islamic thing to do, anyways, right? It's Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his own example, he did not, strike a child or a servant or anyone, So there are better ways to do that, and I really suggest and recommend to parents to consider positive parenting, positive way to positive reinforcement. There is plenty of research out there that shows that is a much better and healthier way of raising children. It's harder. It takes a lot of effort. We need to learn how to do it. That may not have been something that we were offered, right? But that doesn't mean that we have to subject our children to the same methods that are no longer viable. Wallahu a'lam.
Okay.
Now I hope this next move, Buna. I hope this is not considered child abuse, what I'm doing to you.
I think. Okay. I scored on myself. So you realize it doesn't count, right?
What's that?
I scored on myself, so that doesn't count.
No, it does count.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's fair.
Okay, we'll let it go. I'm not going to count it.
Do you think, I mean, this is a fair question now. Do you think some kids actually deserve to get beat, though?
No, a'udhu billah.
No. Like some kids, like myself, I'll give you my example. I was a really bad kid. If I looked in retrospect,
I can't imagine you ever being bad.
Well, mashallah, you mean husn al-dhan of me, but I know that there were probably times when I deserved it.
But who didn't do bad things? I mean, even a bad kid can turn out to be like you, right? I think
worse.
The most important part is if you tell a child that you're bad, chances are they might buy into it and actually turn out to be bad. If you tell them you're better than this, I expect you to do better than this. Believe it or not, even if they don't get it now, right, they will get it in the future, right, and they will appreciate the fact that you didn't give up on them, that you always were motivating and empowering and encouraging, right, that you didn't really come hard, on them.
Right.
So I think parents, and I think we need to be nuanced. I mean, different techniques. Work for different people. So parents need to get to know their children and understand the details of the personalities and the sensitivities of their children and see what would be the best way to handle that child. Generally speaking, I say with regards to children, especially girls and women, handle with care.
Right.
Handle with care.
Okay. Any advice for our sisters? I mean, as wives, as daughters, as mothers. I don't want to get too much into marriage per se, but you know, there's a huge marriage crisis happening right now in the West, and specifically, you know, our communities, where people are getting married, and within 2 years, even less sometimes, they're getting divorced.
That's painful. My advice is, for the ones who are married, seek counseling, right? Don't give up too soon, right? But, you know, what might be most, you know, effective would be to tell the people who are considering getting married, who are not married, please do your due diligence, right? Get premarital counseling.
Premarital counseling?
Yes.
Okay.
And figure out what you need to do before you say, I do. Figure out what you need to do before you say, I do, right? So that would be my advice.
Is that something you offer as well, like premarital counseling?
Yes, you know, there are some imams. You know, I myself have my, you know, my own program. Right. I mean, I recommend programs and services that are provided by professional, certified marriage and family therapists. Mm. But if someone cannot afford it or they don't have, you know, so the next best thing to do would be to come to someone who has, you know, long experience, who is giving you a very balanced who has a balanced approach to this subject.
Based on all your years of counseling...
Let me give you a tip. Okay, you're not covered like this.
Why is that?
You're not covered. You see, bring this... Go back. There you go. Right? Block. Bring this back.
You,
no, no.
You're trying to get an easy goal on me.
No,
that's
not okay, that's fine.
Go ahead.
You're not listening. Well, no. my advice, you know, for people would be, listen... when you're told by someone who knows what they're doing. All right.
I need some reasonable counseling. Go ahead. This is my technique.
That doesn't work.
This is now, the odds of you getting it in are much less. Now, out of all your years of experience of counseling, can you give me the number one golden rule of advice, golden tip that you would give to families and couples on a regular basis that you think just us hearing about now would just maybe benefit people in the long run? Golden advice.
Oh, I mean, one rule?
One rule. The thing that you most have to often repeat yourselves in, the thing that you find most people kind of lack within.
With regards to marriage and family.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, needless to say that we all have to fear Allah, be vigilant, be aware of the presence of Allah. He's watching everything that we do and say, right? And, you know, we can't get away with anything that we do that is wrong, that we know is wrong and Allah is not pleased with. Having said that, right, you know, I often like to remind, especially married couples, or even members of any household, of the terms of that relationship that started it all, marriage. Mm-hmm. When we get into, when we get married, we're making a sacred covenant, not only with the other party, but with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah calls it in the Quran, mithaqan ghaliza. It's a serious commitment that we're making. We're making a commitment to Allah Azza wa Jal. And many people somehow, they forget. They even forget the marriage vows, right? How did you two come together? Mm. Right? Allah, you know, you had to basically say, repeat a statement, make a commitment, right? And state that commitment. And witnesses were there, people were present. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, you know, is always, you know, present. And people usually would say things like, you know, I take you, or I take your hand, or I marry you, or I marry myself to you, in accordance to the Book of Allah and the prophetic tradition. So you have to make sure that your life is actually running in accordance to the Book of Allah and the prophetic tradition. And if things go, you know, if things don't work out, right, you have to make sure that you deal with issues or you resolve conflicts in accordance to the Book of Allah and the prophetic tradition. That's not what I see, unfortunately, in most cases. People actually violate the Book of Allah and the prophetic tradition, which makes me wonder if we really are serious or if we really understand or mean what we say when we come to get married. You know, in most cases, people are just, they're rushing, they just want to get through with the process because their intention is not really to honor these words and that commitment. So no wonder when that happens, things don't work out and we suffer. So I urge people to remember that and understand what it means. And that's why I think every imam, anyone that does, that conducts and officiates marriages, should remind people of these terms. listen, and you don't do it on the day of their nikah, on the day of the marriage, right? You do it way in advance, when you set the appointment. You know, come in advance, I need to see you, I need to talk to you, I want to make sure that you understand what you're getting yourself into. And these are the terms that we're going to use. Are you willing, and do you promise, and are you aware of the, you know, of the seriousness of this commitment that you're making? Wallahu a'lam. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless our marriages. May Allah bless our families. Ameen. And may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala protect our children. Ameen. And protect us all.
Ameen. Now,
okay, let's go. What do you think?
Well, I just want to score at least one goal before we go, because I think it'd be awkward if I made you beat
you think
me
I should,
on live camera.
Do you think I should let him score?
I don't think you have a choice, actually, because I think right now
I'm about to
get... Okay, now you're getting intensive. Anyways, that was a great episode we just had with Sheikh Muhammad Faqih, who's, you know, gone through a lot of really great points for the family. If you're married or if you're not married, there's still a lot of gems that you can benefit from, because like the Sheikh was saying, you know, learning about marriage even before you tie the knot is a huge part of, you know, understanding the responsibilities of marriage. So Jazakallah khair, Sheikh, for joining us on this episode of Hangout. I'm going to score at least one goal, whether he likes it or not, inshallah. Otherwise, stay tuned for next episode, inshallah. We'll see you then. JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum.
كن سعيدا كن فريدا عش بفخر في الحياة لا تبالي فالمعالي